Everyone's asleep. Everyone but me. And I can't help feel like I'm doing this all by myself.
Welcome back. I'm back, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, I'm back. I didn't go anywhere. my very special guest is Karen Quinn Tostado. I kind of refer to her lovingly as the den mother of of UnitedWeStrike.com. Kind of like the what's the term for a female wolf that like suckles its cubs and stuff? I forget the term.
She-wolf?
Yeah. She's the she-wolf den mother.
And then so I'm out raising hell and murdering and pillaging on my wolf time, on my she-wolf time.
In a pack animal type fashion.
Well, I'll tell you, Vinny, I would love to be able to raise some hell, because there would be enough people who felt like I did and thought like I did to where they were outraged enough by everything that's happening around them to have one of those, what the frack did you just tell me, moments to where they just, it hit them so hard and so deep that they would realize staying home a couple of days from work is a pretty reasonable thing to do when you actually begin to see the enormity of what's against us.
Yeah, it is quite enormous. You can't look anywhere direct. I've said this so many times on the radio, Karen. It bears repeating. You can't look in any direction without seeing the apparatus of the New World Order, at least some form of scumbaggery. And that's really frustrating, because it means you can't escape from it. Usually when you've got some kind of a bad, horrible, terrible, violent, psychopathic person in your life, you just go, okay, I'm going to go over this way now, and I'm not going to hang out with that person anymore. But in this case, the whole world is built lock, stock, and barrel in the apparatus of scumbaggery.
Yep.
There is no escape. There's only resistance.
Yeah, and the ones who are the very worst criminals of all are the ones who are leading the country. And I know they've got the Benghazi hearings going on now. I'm not really paying too much attention to that, although I did hear that simultaneously as that was going on, Hillary Clinton was receiving some kind of an award. It's like, it's just so crazy. And I try not to let it drive me crazy, Vinny, but there are times when I just, you know, I felt like I hit a wall yesterday. Because I see, you know, people don't get the bigger picture. I mean, I understand that we all need to make a living, and I understand that we need to pay our bills, and I understand that if we don't pay our bills, we'll be messed up. That is how this system runs. But I also understand that all of our bills are based on fraud, that all of this is based on fraud and lies and deception, and this has been a multi-generational coup of all governments so that they can whittle us down, murder most of us, and rebuild the world. And I know that sounds crazy to some people maybe who are listening. It doesn't to you, but, you know, I mean, if people would just look up, you know, I talked to my friend Dinah Everett Snyder. Do you know her, Vinny? Dinah Everett Snyder, she's been on with Charlie. And she's, well, I'll have to introduce you because she's doing some absolutely wonderful job in terms of veterans and PTSD. She's giving them cannabis juice, which is not to get them high, but actually to get them clean. She also puts them through a program where they go through it in groups, and they change their diet, they change their thinking, they're monitored, they are really making wonderful a headway. And the first group she had were only 6 veterans. The second group she had were 33. And she's noticing that, you know, these poor people are lied to and abused most of all. most of all, vaccinated up, they're afraid to even check to see if they've got the RFID chips, which are the chips that are imprinted a lot through vaccines. And our friends at ICAACT.org, Jesse Beltran and Lars Drudgard. Do you know them as well?
No.
More people I have to introduce you to, Vinny. And they're also on the marathon earlier, but they are with ICA, the International Council Against Abuse of Covert Technology, or International Center Against Abuse of Covert Technology. And Jesse, who founded it, had an RFID chip implanted in his tooth when he went to the dentist. And I mean, they're able now to EMF from a distance, to control people with these, to not only find out where they're going, but to send different signals if they want to mess with them. They actually feel like they are being tortured. And it's huge. There are thousands and thousands of people around the world who have been chipped without their knowledge or consent. And now there's a new European coalition against covert harassment that we are going to help to debut on the marathon, which is Saturday. So we've got the United We Strike marathon the second Saturday of every month. And thank you again, Vinny, for being part of this. And we're trying to open it up with round tables now and get people to really meet each other. So we've got a time difference now with the time changes. And in in UK, we're going to start at actually 4 a.m. over in Switzerland with Detlef, and he's going to do 2 hours of German. That's in Pacific time. Then at 6 a.m. Pacific time, we're going to have a two-hour special. You know how it's down to about 27 minutes now, but we want to start tying in some of these threads of these bigger issues where we're working on an individual part of it, because along with these RFID chips, other topics that are involved are mind control, geoengineering, Morgellons, smartphones, smart meters, just regular cell phones, EMFs, the microwave towers, weather manipulation. It's a big, big topic. And so we're going to have a two-hour roundtable consisting from 6 till about 7, and 7 to 8 we'll have a musical break in there with people from Europe who will really be talking about this and getting into it, because many people who think they're crazy and they're hearing voices are actually not crazy. They are hearing voices. They are what are known as targeted individuals. And it's just absolutely frightening. I mean, when they take our blood when we're born, they can also know individually just what it is that sets us apart and target us that way. And now they don't even have to put in RFID chips, Vinny. They can just send out a frequency to mess with a particular blood type. I mean, it's just outrageous.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if they got bags of potato RFID chips for people to eat or something like that, you know, like Pringles.
Yeah.
Once you pop, you can't stop being tracked.
Yeah. Maybe.
See, but something you said earlier is, you know, sparked off something. You said that if you look at the world and all of these things that we're talking about, it sounds crazy. You know, it does sound crazy at first, and then you realize that just because it sounds crazy doesn't mean it's not true. If you think that it's crazy, does that mean that you think the world's currently a very sane, wonderful, decent place, right? Who's the one who's craziest? Yeah.
It's difficult. Well, and it's also difficult too. I've realized there just aren't right now enough people, Vinny, who kind of feel like we do, or like I do, just thinking that trying to offer a solution, you know, where do you go? Obviously, trying to work within this system is absolutely futile. Resistance is futile.
Well, can I ask you, Karen, you said that there's not enough people currently awake. How much is enough?
Well, I think enough, Vinny, is to where actually they start making themselves known through action that really has teeth in it. And until we really stop and know that every single solitary day that goes by, more people are murdered on our dime. Right now, it's, what, Syria. Then pretty soon it's Iran. You know, we're already murdering people in Pakistan. We cry over here. The president of the Corporation of the United States, whose only mandate truly is to make money, you know, cries and tears up about children who are dying. And yet, how many hundreds, thousands?
He's the fracker killing them.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm so sad about these children. Okay, where's another death warrant?
Yeah. Just give them the finger and don't worry about it. And we're so disconnected from that. You know, we're thinking it's a job. We're still thinking, some of us, that there is something moral about war. We're not connecting the death and destruction. And you know, Vinny, it just, I guess I'm very empathetic and I'm aware every night that more people have died, paid for with my money, and the machine gets ever and ever closer to whatever kind of crash it's going to come to, because it is going to come to a head. We cannot have this kind of malfeasance. I mean, did you hear also a judge sentenced, Lauren Hill, I think. Was it Lauren Hill?
Oh, yeah, to text.
And then to re-education school, because she says that, you know, if you have integrity, you can't get anywhere in the music business. You know, if you're a sellout like Lady Gaga, you'll be famous. But if you have some integrity, you're in trouble. So they want to re-educate her as well. It's like, this is just a freaking nightmare from 1984, and people are going for it still. You know, in Boston, people, yay, I'm incapable of protecting myself. Let's shut down the city for another false flag. And then we have Adam Kokesh wanting people to march with armed rifles over their back in Washington, D.C. We've got the sheriff there saying it's against the statute. And while I totally support the Second Amendment and the right to bear arms, you know, I think that this is like waving a red flag at a bull. And when people get out there en masse, the first thing that they really don't think about is you leave your family and your home vulnerable. And you really don't know what's going to happen when they have these microwave weapons, when they've got the sound cannons, when they've got the tasers, when they've got the batons, and when the biggest thing that they want to do is beat the crap out of you and put you back in line. I mean, it doesn't make sense to me. Does it to you, Vinny?
You know, in some ways it does, because you can understand the mentality. Second Amendment, the Black Panthers actually did this to great effect during the 60s, where black men would say being beaten down by corrupt Chicago cops or something of that nature. The Black Panthers would turn up, armed, point weapons at the cops, and the beating would stop. And soon after, the violence against blacks by police in areas where Black Panthers operated began to lessen and virtually stop altogether. And they're not doing that anymore, though, and the beatings resume. And it occurs to me that it's very dangerous, shaky ground that we all walk upon, and I don't know what to do. Like, I'm not going to incite violence. Kokesh is not inciting violence, is he? He's simply saying we have the right to bear arms, and that's precisely what we're going to do. We're going to have a peaceful protest, but we're going to be armed. Just as a political point that this is our rights, and if you want to try and sound cannon us while we're all armed to the teeth in this protest, your sound cannon machine's going to get blown away.
Well,
no, here's the thing. When was the last time you saw a cop beating up an armed protester?
Your point is well taken.
It has never frickin' happened, because cops are frickin' cowardly. That's why they beat up protesters. It's like,
Who's the most threatening person here? Oh, look, it's a 16-year-old kid wearing with dreadlocks, sitting down very peaceably and stuff like that. He needs to be pepper sprayed because he's dangerous. Yeah, I'm a big man. I'm so strong. I'm so freaking awesome.
You know? Those are the people that they like to do.
Think about this.
You were talking about Lauryn Hill earlier, and just reminded me, you know, the music business is not about music. It's about business.
Yeah.
And you were talking about veterans earlier. And I was thinking to myself, I actually feel guilty, right? Like, whenever anybody mentions veterans, I actually have it's like something's pressing on my heart because I've heard and seen so much. I mean, I've had a little bit of suffering right in my life, right? It's fracking nothing by comparison to what veterans go through. Nothing.
Yeah.
I feel like I've had a silver spoon in my mouth and had everything done for me my entire life by comparison to being vaccinated and living out your life on veterans' pension benefits that keep consistently getting cut using dangerous medications that make you want to freaking kill yourself and give you kidney failure and all of this other kind of stuff. And then they tell you that it's your problem, that it's your mental disorder, that the Gulf War syndrome, that they marched you into these massive chemical clouds with all these freaking weapon bunkers that they blew up and all the chemical weapons that they sold Iraq, raining down on all of these poor people, you know, and they're just decent guys going 22. Into the military to serve their country, serve their people, and they're just lied to, and it destroys their entire freaking existence a lot of the time, and it just really irks me.
22 veterans die every day of either suicide or, you know, drug overdose. 22 a day, Vinny. 22 a day, and they're just chewed up and spit out. And you think about, though, I mean, when you really start thinking about the absurdity of the way we live, boot camp, if that isn't fracking trauma-based mind control to strip you of your individuality and to make you think that you are nothing more than a grunt whose only job is to serve the platoon and to obey immoral and horrible orders, and they were lied into it. And Dinah says also that there's a clause, the federal government, you know, it gives funding to schools, and that's what allows them to send these sharks in before the children are graduating to recruit them, aggressively recruit these children. And that's what they are. They're children when they go in and they're lied to, and it's a nightmare.
All paid for with our money. And I'm just thinking, you know how they got a debt clock in Wall Street or whatever? We need a death counter to see how much people our money has killed. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show. Maybe people probably didn't notice there, but I actually cried during that last segment there, just thinking about the veterans and all that. So I'd like everybody to do a little bit of a an operation with me, okay? If you're not driving, if you're just sitting down or something like that, you know, just stop doing what you're doing, okay? And just listen to my voice for a second. Close your eyes, if you will. Use your imagination for a moment. Imagine that you once believed that the government was good. Imagine that you believed it so strongly, and your passion to protect your people against enemies, foreign and domestic, was strong enough that you willingly signed your life away on a dotted line. And then you make a whole lot of really good friends when you go into the service. And you learn about structure and discipline and so on and so forth. And you feel that you're becoming stronger, a more efficient machine, a better man, a better woman. Then imagine that you suddenly get deployed to a place that you have no familiarity with, a place that's hot and dry, full of people of a culture you don't understand, with these smiling kids and happy faces and people everywhere that are so generous and loving and kind. And then you get ordered to kill those people. You get ordered to burn down a school full of children. And then you have to deal with the guilt. And then they pump you full of drugs and vaccines because you can't deal with it. And then you start taking acid. Then you start smoking two types of frickin' crack cocaine every day just to deal with the stress and the guilt and the pressure. And then when you get home, after a full year killing innocents, seeing your good friends die, you realize that there's no jobs for you because there's a fake mark on your record that says that you're a thief or a pedophile and that the only other option for your employment is to go back there to kill more of them because you can't even get a job pumping gas. And because you can't deal with that, you decide to become homeless, and that's your only option. And you spend your times on the street trying to whittle away the days until your death, plying yourself with whatever substance you can find, because even that is a better alternative than serving the government, which you once thought cared about you and your people and your nation. That's what I feel when I just hear the word veteran. Okay, that there may be a worst case scenario, but just think about this. It is not an isolated incident. 1/4 of the current homeless population in the United States are veterans who have gone through things that I've just described here. Do you not feel something? It's not just one person. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands. Imagine it. Just imagine all those families who lose their loved ones, whether they die or simply get killed inside. And it's not their fault that they were lied to. It's ours that we let them die in our name and do nothing to stop it.
Very true, Vinny. And when they come back, they're not the same. You know, some of the concerns that they have are the enemy changes. Here, shoot Al-Qaeda here, and oh no, now don't shoot them, they're our buddies. You know, they are, now we allow torture. You know, we give the peace prize to a criminal who doesn't even come up with the right kind of records that should be able to be checked for him to be president. But since he's president of the Corporation of the United States, nobody cares. You know, we don't care that there are only 535 misrepresentatives who sell us out every day, who create laws that they're bribed into creating. And war is a huge profit. You know, War is a Racket by Major General Smedley Butler Clark. Nobody talks about the coup that he was instrumental in stopping at the end of the first war. You know, we live in a crazy world where we're forced to be born in an institution that immediately takes us from our mother, gives us a shot for hepatitis B, and what baby is really seriously in threat of having hepatitis B, along with all these other horrible toxins. We take their blood, we tell the parents what they can and cannot do with their own child, we sell them onto the stock market, we send them home, we're in debt. We should not be born in debt. We should not be murdering each other for lies that go back to profit and manipulation and bankers, and especially now when the little guys keep going to jail and they've even turned jail into a money-making machine. The god of this world is profit, Vinny. It's so easily apparent, and it is also dark profit. It's the evilest type of warfare around. It is a spiritual warfare that we have been so twisted. We actually think we're a civilized society when we allow murder and rape and torture every day. And now there's even some ridiculous woman over, I think, in the UK who wants to raise or to lower the age of minors to 13, so some of these old guys who are pedophiles won't be getting in trouble for their choices. You know, stop persecuting these old pedophiles, these old fracking pedophiles like the Pope. You know, we go to church knowing that some of these priests are pedophiles or hiding pedophilia, and yet we still line up by the thousands to kiss the ring of his ass holiness. You know, so to me, Vinny, it's just so crazy that I keep hoping people will just get that. What the frack did you just tell me? Did you just tell me that my children and myself are infected with whatever it is that's falling from the skies that has been doing it for so long that all of us now are infected? It may not be showing up, but yeah, that's one of the things that I'm learning. And that it's not only that they're dropping these chemicals from the sky, but we're swimming in them. You know, if I didn't believe I was spirit having a human experience, I don't know what I would do, you know? And some days, just the reality of all of it, then I do have to step back and say, okay, I'm spirit having a human experience, but it doesn't have to be this bad. To me, you know, if on July 4th, instead of going and marching and having a big show, what I would hope people would do is have water and... Sorry, my husband's in the background here. but I'd have people have get your food, get your water, get your guns and your protection gear, and stay home. You know, what would happen in Washington, D.C. if we put out the word that, oh, yeah, we're all going to march, but actually everybody stayed home so that they'd get all prepared. They'd spend all of this government money sending all the goons out who are all dressed up, the mercs who are ready to kick ass. You know, they'd send all their troops out, and they'd have nobody to mess with but each other, because we'd be home living our lives saying, you know, maybe it is time that I celebrate this day with my children of freedom, and then maybe I should take the next 3 days of the weekend, not purchase anything from big box multinational corporations, take my money as much as I can out of the bank, and shop mom and pop and drop their profit line. Maybe that would be the thing to do over these 4 days. Instead of spending a bunch of money on a vacation, figure out something that you can do within your home, within your community, something that will really enhance your life. I mean, what do you think, Vinny? How would it look if instead of this big march, it was empty streets and we were living our lives and they had empty banks and empty airports? Do you think it would have an effect?
Oh, yeah, it would do. But my concern with that is, though, staying home and not doing something... By itself, I know what you're saying. I'm just wondering, trying to rectify the situation, because there's so much to do, and much of it cannot be accomplished by staying home and getting out of the system. Like I think that there's two lines to the truth movement. There is, and these both lines are absolutely necessary. Like soldiers and medics. Soldiers and medics are absolutely necessary on the front line of the battlefield. Right. One to fight the enemy that's trying to kill you, and one to patch up your people that are being hurt in the process, right? And I see the stay home, the spiritual awareness part of the truth movement as the medics, because you know, as you were saying that, it occurred to me this thought that I had yesterday is a lot of this stuff really does get to you. Okay, and I was thinking, how am I actually dealing with it? Because if I'm not dealing with these things that really upset me, it's going to conquer me. It's going to destroy me, right? You know, your thoughts are very powerful, and they can disarm you. They can force you to think that everything's too much. And I've seen so many people quit doing this, doing the right thing, as it were, speaking on the radio and trying to help people understand the real problems with our world. And because they don't go out, okay? And I called up a radio show one time, and this radio show host, I think, Mikey Havoc, is relatively famous in New Zealand, bit of a 9/11 truther himself. And he was arguing with me over the phone, even being a 9/11 truther, that knowing about conspiracy and all of these things can be very damaging. And he cited the example of one of his friends who kind of started to go a little bit crazy sort of thing after learning all these things. And I asked him, so Mikey, and Mikey's a DJ and goes out partying all the time, right? So Mikey, are you socially active? And he goes, well, yeah. You're going out, meeting new people, having laughs, having friends and having fun all the time? Yeah. That's why you didn't go nuts. What about your friend? And he's like, no. He just stayed at home by himself, alienated himself from everybody, and gradually went more and more freaking nuts. It's the important lesson that I think we all need to learn is that you need good friends. Okay, and that's how I deal with it. If I'm feeling down or crappy or exhausted, I'll usually go to see my mate Jono on Thursday nights when we watch cartoons together, or I'll go see my mate Dan and we'll have a coffee or whatever, or I'll go see my mate Mike and we'll play a song or make something up together, and it just to remind me that although almost everything is fracked, there is still some good in this world. You need to remind yourself of that, especially when you feel like it's the hardest thing to see.
When I talk about staying home, though, I'm not talking about being inactive, because if you really think about it, Vinny, what is more important than our homes? You know, there shouldn't really be, aside from our spiritual connection, our home truly should be our castle, and we should all own land. We should be able to wake up in the morning, and instead of now, where you wake up to the screaming of an alarm clock or maybe a baby in the other room, and then you have to get up, and if you're a mom, you got to get breakfast, and your children off to school, and then you probably have a job, and your husband has a job, and then after school, you got meetings, and you know, you don't really talk to your children because you give them to somebody else to raise, really, to educate, and the propaganda that they're fed, and the school lunches now that they, some schools don't even let you send a bag lunch. They force the children to eat what crap they're giving them. Well, you know, we don't live real lives. And then at night when we get home, if we're lucky, you know, we have time for dinner, then you have time for maybe a little bit of TV and you go to bed. And we're not communicating with our children, and the job is keeping us just over broke. What I would like people to really entertain are a whole different set of thoughts. And I'm reading the Ringing Cedars series, the Russian Ringing Cedars series, the Anastasia books. And they've got some fascinating philosophical ideas. But I do think that instead of a job being just over broke, we should be able to wake up in the morning when we want to. We should be able to greet the sun. We should walk out into our garden just for the joy of being. That should be our job, the joy of being. And in these books, it said the real goal of God, what God wants from his people, is conjoint creation and joy to all who contemplate it. Think about that, Vinny. Conjoint creation that brings joy to all who contemplate it. And we have an abundant, beautiful planet. Think about what we could be doing if we stopped believing that some people are better than we are, that you need a little piece of paper, that, you know, some are not worthy, that we have to fight each other. You know, what if the biggest lie of all is the paradise we should be creating here, and there's really no other place to go when we're gone and we screw it up, you know? What about that? Or the reincarnation of maybe the whole planet. But if we do reincarnate, man, can't we get it right before we destroy ourselves and our world again? Do we have to keep fighting? Or can we look at a whole different area and think really about the joy of being when you get up because you want to, you have enough land to have, they talk about having a hectare of land for all the people who want it, where you've got over 300 varieties of fruits, vegetables, herbs, you've got fruit trees and cedar trees, and you know, you live from the land. That would be amazing. You can be self-sufficient forever if we stop thinking that we've got to run everybody else.
Yep. ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week for your listening pleasure. Frack, we've been doing a depressing show together today, Karen. Right. I was just saying over the break, you know, if you actually let it get to you, okay, if you think real hard for 20 minutes, frack, it even probably only takes about 2 minutes of thinking real hard about the reality of the New World Order before you start thinking, you know what, maybe curling into a fetal position might be a good idea. Oh, I'm so sad. Oh, I'm so depressed. Oh, it's hopeless. Oh, there's so much scumbaggery. I'm toxified, et cetera, et cetera. Mate, just you know, breathe that out. Just, we're fracked. try and make some levity. I was watching. I'm probably ashamed to say this, but I was watching Terminator 3: Rise of the Machines. Yes, I know, terrible movie. But anyway, it's got a good quote in it. They're like sitting in this RV that they just stole, right? And they're like cruising across the desert after being chased by this Terminatrix thingy. And one of them makes a joke, and they both start laughing. And then the Terminator, you know, Arnie in the front seat says, "Levity is good. It distracts you from the your imminent death."
That's a good line.
I'm the Terminator in this situation. I am the voice of comedy that is trying to distract you from your imminent doom. Maybe I'm not doing a good enough job. Maybe everybody's getting too depressed anyway. It's unbelievable.
Well, it's quite a job out there to try and keep on top of all this stuff and not really let it drive you crazy, because it is just so insane. And again, then it just reaches the point to me, Vinny, where I think sometimes there's so much you just have to stop. You have to stop and take a break. And I think that if we did that at the same time and declared a time for the people, you know, we encourage action on the 15th in terms of a boycott. Ladies and gentlemen, please think about the power of the purse. Think about not spending money in the big box stores over the weekend of the 4th. I mean, at least we could send a message by dropping profit. And if you think also about what could you be doing in your home that would benefit you and your family? When is it time to take stock and see how much you have in case of an emergency? You know, and when is it time to think about maybe moving to the country? But then again, if and when enough of us really understand, okay, 535 miscreants over here selling us out, it really is a minority. When enough of us decide that we are no longer going to play the game by their rules, because we've seen over and over again it is a rigged game. They fix the prices of the metals every day. You can see them even talking about the fact that there's no metal to sell, and yet they're dropping the prices. It's so absolutely crazy. And re-education now, if you speak out against the government, and we've got these, you know, I don't care who loves who. You know, I don't care if you're gay, but I really think that we ought to take a good look at the people who are in the United States government who claim to be female, because, come on, you've got people in there who are just trying to prove that they're tough, and we've got to win, and we've got to save the children of America who are afraid about the guns. Well, man, Michelle Obama, why don't you talk to your husband about the drones? The children in Pakistan, I'm sure, are much more fearful with much better reason. So, anyway, Vinny, the second Saturday of every month, we have United We Strike. We've got the marathon. We get people together from all over the world. The roundtables are going to be very interesting. It's 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. And then at 5:30, we're going to have another roundtable and see who wants to join us from earlier on in the day. And it's where we get to introduce hosts and guests to each other, because usually they don't get to meet. So that's kind of a neat thing. And Vinny, I want to thank you for helping with that too and being part of it, because it is kind of fun to get to talk to people that you normally you never get to talk to. So we keep on uniting, and you know what I'd like to do also here, Vinny, is I'd like to ask you to close your eyes now for a second, and your listeners to close your eyes, because I just like you to think about these words that are a message that is simple, but it really can be profound when we think about it in terms of the first person. So if you'll just kind of close your eyes and take a breath and open up to just receiving a message. I will be a source of certainty within the sea of confusion. I'll stand tall. The waves won't make me fall. I've seen through it all. It's an illusion. We were all meant to be living life abundantly, exploring all our majesty. And when enough of us know it, we are free. We are free.
Beautiful. You know, it doesn't take a cast of thousands. That's what I've learned. Usually just a few people taking a stand, doing what they know to be right. Everybody else kind of falls in line. It'll often cost that one person a lot in order to do what's right for humanity. And then everybody jumps on the bandwagon afterwards, because then it costs nothing to be a patriot, as it were. But that's okay. If you're doing the right thing, what do you got really to complain about? At least you're not doing nothing. And that's what I really try to reiterate to people, is just don't do nothing. The system is predicated on you taking no action. The system is predicated on you coming home and watching TV instead of coming home and working on a free energy device in your garage that might blow up the neighborhood. But hey, it's fun. Well, you know, just work on something in your spare time. And I watched this really great little mini documentary last night, Karen. I think you'll love it. So it's called "How TV Destroyed My Life" or something to that nature. And it's done by an English comedian. He's insulting all these people and everything, and he shows how TV saps your aspiration for life. Because hey, everybody's pretty. Everybody's thin. Everybody's wealthy. Everybody's living in a nice architecturally designed home, or driving really expensive cars, or going out to really incredible clubs, or making love to really pretty women. And you're not doing any of that. And as a result of seeing all these people do this in a fantasy world, you think they're your friends. You think that instead of sitting back and accomplishing nothing with your life, if you're watching TV, you feel like you're actually a part of this glitz and glamour. It's a fracking illusion, and it depresses you, and it saps you of all aspiration in your life, because instead of doing something that would make you a better person, that would make you happier, you're sitting there watching fake characters live your happiness for you. And it was an intense realization for me of just how much of our lives gets spent, more to the point, wasted by watching fake characters on TV, whether they be part of some kind of a game show, whether they're real people or not, is irrelevant. It's not real. And we're wasting our lives away. We're wasting all our potential by sitting there and consuming it and being programmed by it and being jealous of all these people having these lives that we could never have. That was really sad. But anyway, Karen,
hey, Vinny.
You're still with us. So
yeah, dropped off there into the bozone.
The bozone.
So that's it, you know. That's most of us. If we ever get out of the bozone, we can look up, see what's happening to the ozone, take a whiff, try and wake up and do something about it. Smell the roses. Anyway, sorry that I lost it on part of that. Where did I drop out?
I think you just finished your song. And then,
oh, good.
And then it was all done. So it was like perfect timing.
Oh, good. That's usually when I drop out is when something really eloquent comes out of me that I'll never be able to remember or repeat.
Yeah, well in this case, it was like a convenient, oh, that was beautiful. I'm glad she left us with that and now she's gone.
Oh. Well, thank you. And I do believe it, though. When enough of us know it, we are free. When we know that we don't have any obligation whatsoever to obey immoral leaders or immoral orders. And that's all we're doing right now. We're accepting immorality. We're justifying it. We're saying, oh, yeah, well, he has to do it. Well, no, the Israelis don't have to be bombing the hell out of Syria right now. We don't have to pay for that. Anyway, hopefully you can join us, your listeners, on UnitedWeStrike.com. This Saturday, all day long, and also, Vinny, can you join us at 5:30 for the round table?
You mean just after my set in there?
Christina with a global radiation report will be first, and yeah, it'll be like a half hour after. Come back, okay. Join us.
Yeah, I could probably swing that if I really try. should be easy enough. All right, Karen Quinn Tostado, always lovely, the Den Mother. The she-wolf.
I like Den Mother.
Yeah. Incidentally, related to Michael J. Fox. I'm just kidding. It's a Teen Wolf reference. They're going to mix up there. Anyway, UnitedWeStrike.com is the website. And we'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for listening.